Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into a handful of the latest stories from around American soccer. We're going to talk about USL, we're going to chat MLS and the U.S. Women's National Team, and we'll do it all in less than 10 minutes, because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to it and talk soccer. All right, folks, let's kick things off with the United Soccer League. The USL had its first ever game on network TV on Saturday. It was a matchup between Louisville City and Indy 11 in the Eastern Conference of the USL Championship, one of the best rivalries in the lower divisions, and a fantastic game, a 5-3 win for Louisville over their rivals, Indy. Wilson Harris bagging a hat trick for Louisville in front of the home fans at Lynn Family Stadium. It was a nice game from Louisville, who are perfect so far this season, 4 wins from 4 games. They are one of the dominant teams in the USL Championship right now, and they could be lifting a big-time trophy at the end of this year. Still, as fun as the on-field action was, and you can go read more about that from John Morrissey over at backheel.com, this was much more about the landmark occasion of having a game on CBS for the first time ever for the USL Championship. Now, we're expecting to hear the actual broadcast ratings coming out really any day now from the league about how this game was actually received. But it's easy to imagine the impact that a moment like this can have of folks turning on a TV on a Saturday as a lead into March Madness, seeing the United Soccer League pop up on their TVs on CBS, available to basically anyone in the United States, and say, oh, hey, I don't know what this is. I've never heard of the USL before. I don't know about these teams. Do I have a soccer team near me? I don't have an MLS team. I know a little bit about that. Do I have a USL team near me? Oh, I do. Like, this team didn't used to be here before. Maybe I should check this out. Maybe I should go and enjoy a really fun atmosphere as it was at Lynn Family Stadium on a Saturday in my own market or town or community or whatever it is. This is a huge opportunity, and was a huge opportunity for the USL, an organization with a ton of teams in the United States. The USL is expanding. There are more opportunities now than there have ever been to go and see high-level or lower-division soccer in the United States. That's a huge reason why I'm so excited that the USL got this game. It was a great game, which helps in terms of drawing people to your product. 8 goals. I mean, it's hard to do a lot better than that. And a fun atmosphere. So many positives to take out of this one for the USL. We'll have more coverage of the league and of their media rights and all this stuff coming over at backheel.com as the season progresses. Some fun stuff coming on the site. But man, a big win, truly, for the USL. We'll see what the numbers were on the broadcast when we get that information. Now, let's shift to the U.S. Women's National Team, who also played on Saturday. In the first game of the She Believes Cup, they beat Japan 2-1. They'll play Canada later on tonight, as I'm recording on Tuesday, April 9th. A lot to like about what the U.S. showed in this game. I want to start with Jaden Shaw, who is the truth, and I've told you that she's the truth, and I will continue to tell you that she is the truth. I talked about this on the Total Soccer Show earlier this week. There is this camera angle that they have at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home of Atlanta United. It's where the U.S. beat Japan in this game over the weekend. They have this aerial camera angle with the way that the frame rate is, or something about the angle of the shot. It makes it look like these sequences are coming straight out of FIFA. This is not the broadcast angle you get, but usually there's a social media clip or two coming from these games. And Jaden Shaw got the aerial camera angle treatment in this game for her goal in the 21st minute. It is a lovely strike from range. Jaden Shaw's control of the ball, her movement, her understanding of space, her ball striking, all of it is just elite at this level. She is still so young, so much room to grow as a player, but her attacking contributions have been absolutely unbelievable for the United States Women's National Team. She is, for me, and should be for Twyla Kilgore and Emma Hayes, a written-in-pen starter for this team. Another player who is back to that status now after a long injury layoff is Mallory Swanson, who was absolutely electric for the United States, oftentimes in the left half space for the U.S. in their 3-2-5 possession structure. Swanson barely put in a foot wrong in this game for the U.S., her first start since going down with a long-term knee injury. Back in April of last year, she missed the World Cup. This was her first appearance with the United States since that game against Ireland back in about a year ago now. She was fantastic for the United States, having her on one side, Trinity Robin, hugging the touchline more often over on the right side to allow Emily Fox to stay deeper. And there was just a lot to like about this U.S. performance. It wasn't perfect. You know, we won't see a perfect U.S. performance probably ever, because that's a really hard thing to do in this sport. But it's certainly a hard thing to do when there's still a lot of flux coming in and around this team. Certainly looking at Emma Hayes and how eventually she will come in and lead this team. there are still things to be worked out with this U.S. group, but getting performances like the one we saw from Jaden Shaw and the one we saw from Mallory Swanson on Saturday against Japan is just such an encouraging sign. We'll see how the U.S. do tonight against Canada in the She Believes Cup final. Finally, let's talk Major League Soccer, and we'll look ahead to the CONCACAF Champions Cup as well. Two games in the Champions Cup happening tonight. We've got Tigres hosting the Columbus Crew after a 1-1 scoreline at Lower.com Field in Columbus, Ohio in the first leg, and Club America taking on the New England Revolution. Let's face it, that game is already over. Club America now playing at home after beating the Revs 4-0 on the road. That tie is completely over. One Revs nugget very quickly. Caleb Porter made good on his promise that his team would beat Charlotte FC. He promised it over the radio leading into that game. His team came out ahead against Charlotte FC, and yet Caleb Porter still walked back his comment. He said, I didn't mean to use that word. It was taken out of context, etc., etc. Caleb Porter, you had it, man. You had the narrative boost on your side. Maybe still the right decision to try not to alienate his fellow peers around Major League Soccer. Dean Smith didn't seem to love Charlotte FC manager that Caleb Porter had made that comment in the first place. Still a great storyline coming out of MLS. The Revs are done in CCC. There's no doubt about that. But Columbus, with Cucho Hernandez back, he'll be out in the next MLS game because of the red card he had against DC United over the weekend. But his team suspension is over from Will Fernandez. He's back in this team. I'll be surprised if he doesn't start against Tigres tonight. It's going to be an uphill battle for the Columbus Crew. With Cucho, this is possible. Without him, I do not think they had a real chance in this tie. With him, it'll be fascinating to see if they can find something on the road in a difficult environment against probably the best team in this region over the last several years and one of the best absolutely on the planet right now. There's a lot to like about Tigres' hopes in this, less about Columbus. The other game, though, involving an MLS team in the CCC quarterfinals, is happening tomorrow. Inter Miami taking on CF Monterrey. Miami down 2-1 after the home leg at Chase Stadium down in Fort Lauderdale. They'll now travel to Monterrey, just like the Columbus Crew, but this time to take on Monterrey, not Tigres like Columbus. Messi seems angry right now. He came off the bench for Inter Miami and scored a goal against the Rapids in a 2-2 draw in MLS play over the weekend. Miami not at their best, but only two real starters for Tata Martino in his 11 against the Colorado Rapids. Messi's angry. There were some comments made by Monterrey manager Fernando Ortiz coming into their game against Inter Miami in the CCC that Messi did not take too kindly to. There are reports of a post-game confrontation between Lionel Messi and members of the coaching staff for CF Monterrey. Monterrey has requested that CONCACAF take action. There's a lot happening off the field in this rivalry, and an angry Leo Messi is typically a very, very good Lionel Messi. Still one of the absolute best players in the world. If there's anybody who can reverse a 2-1 deficit for his team on the road against a Liga MX giant in CCC play, it is Leo Messi. Now, I still think Monterrey are going to get the job done. I would not back into Miami to advance here. But man, with the GOAT on your side, there is a slimmer of hope this game with an angry Messi is probably going to be must-see TV tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. I'm not sure you're going to want to miss that particular matchup. Let's close this thing out with a couple of other MLS takeaways. The Sounders seem to be back. They beat CF Montreal 5-0 to get their first win of the season. This is much more like it with 9 of 11, maybe 10 of 11, depending on how you look at it. Starters back in the team for Brian Schmetzer. Montreal will be happy to have their road trip ended. The Red Bulls take care of business on the road against last year's Supporters Shield winners in FC Cincinnati. They win 2-1. The Red Bulls look entirely legit right now. And then one more game. We had El Tráfico over the weekend. The LA Galaxy taking on LAFC at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. LAFC winning that one 2-1 on a dicey penalty kick call. Still, the Galaxy should feel a bit hard done by that decision from the center referee. But also, there are a lot of issues still with this Galaxy team. LAFC, one of the team's best positioned to take advantage of the holes in the Galaxy's defense, especially in transition. 2-1 was the scoreline. It could have been a little more lopsided for LAFC when you go and watch the chances for each team. Still work to do for the Galaxy, a team that I think will end up closer to the top of the Western Conference when all things are said and done than they will to the bottom. But both teams in LA look like they have a real chance to do something special this year if they can get themselves to a good position and then make it to a knockout competition in MLS Cup. All right, folks, that is it for this episode of the Backheeled Show. If you enjoyed, go check out backheeled.com and subscribe. Tons of good stuff coming over there. We've got a deep dive into DC United. We've got USL, MLS analysis, USWNT analysis coming later on in the week as well. Lots of in-depth coverage available for you on the site. For now, though, we will talk to you again real soon.